SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Wednesday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964 if you're listening to Sirius XM online, and at our website as well, SteveBick.com. Midweek, and everybody, I think this morning, after last night's, yesterday afternoon's public rancor between officials in Hallandale and horse racing Twitter. taking a wait and watch this morning at Gulfstream, and the vice mayor yesterday in the Sun Sentinel chiding Gulfstream for defying the Broward County order for non-essential businesses to close. And Gulfstream wants to run. And it's a difficult dynamic because, you know, particularly given the mammoth horse population in South Florida right now, between Payson Park, Palm Beach Downs, Palm Meadows, Gulfstream, Gulfstream West. There are just a ton of horses, and certainly horsemen and stakeholders hopeful that things will continue, not just, frankly, through Saturday, through Florida Derby Day, but beyond, because with, you know, the Northeast effectively shut down, and with Kentucky basically on hold, we'll talk about, I'll bring in all of those updates and some of the timing announcements. So under these circumstances, it would be, you know, really ideal and beneficial and you know, a scenario that would benefit everybody. However, I was a little aghast at you know, people attacking the vice mayor of Hallandale for essentially, you know, doing her job. And yeah, we all would love, you know, we'd all love the racing to go, you know, this afternoon and Thursday, Friday into the weekend. And, you know, the big card they're going to draw today, assuming that they don't, I mean, I'm sure they'll draw no matter what, because Gulfstream threatening that they would, you know, fight the county legally if they have to run. So we'll keep an eye on that, and reached out to Billy Badgett, see if Billy has got any news as the morning unfolds, and check with Dave as well. So we'll hope for the best, and at the same time, you won't be, I don't think anybody would be surprised if they're not able to run. I mean, it continues to be remarkable that anybody's running, but, you know, every single day, every card that gets, you know, run to fruition is a bonus. And, you know, certainly we're going to talk in this hour to Chris Katulak at Fonner Park. They continue today. They run again today, as does Will Rogers. And it's been very entertaining and kind of, you know, kind of heartwarming to a large degree. You know, people, you know, tuning in to signals like Will Rogers and Fahner, and you know, the handle numbers, Fahner with records the last couple of days, and you know, Chris is so hardworking and so gung-ho, and I mean, just, you know, we got friendly with him when he was championing the Jack Vanberg biography that he wrote with Jack, Grit to Glory. And, you know, his dedication going up to Fahner, to Grand Island, and running the operation is easy to root for. So we'll talk to Chris Katulak, and they've been doing some innovative things themselves, letting people park in their cars and watch the races from the car. It's kind of crazy, but the racing, you know, the racing's the racing. It's engaging people, and it's giving people something to look forward to. And Will Rogers, in fact, yesterday near the I think it was it might have been the 7th or the 8th, the nickel claimer caught my eye, and there was Big Guy Ian. He's got to be 8, 9 years old. 7, 8, 9. Big Guy Ian, that Michael Dilger campaigned at the beginning of his career for several years. And then he made his way out to Oaklawn last winter, and has, you know, been in the, you know, Mid-American circuit since, Prairie Meadows and Remington, and ran a couple times at Fahner in February and March, and now at Will Rogers yesterday. Just got beat late, just got was the even money favorite, and just got overhauled. But that's a horse that Michael Dilger had a lot of success with for the Subotniks, and 52 career starts. 9 years old. Yep. Big Guy Ian. It's funny when you tune in and there's a horse you don't necessarily expect to see, an old veteran that you're a fan of. The pieces of news that I referenced, and that included Churchill officially yesterday, they're pushing back the opening of the backstretch to the 14th of April, you know, obviously, just everybody's going to monitor things. Charlestown, which seemed poised and, you know, wanted to begin running, and they have to cease after the state issued a stay-at-home order. So the backstretch stays open, though, at Charlestown, and light training. Internationally, you may have noticed, you know, on Monday I'd mentioned that Nace was running the start of the Irish flat season, and that lasted all of one day. So now, as of last night, midnight, that was it. And they ran at Clonmel yesterday, and that was it. And now they'll wait till at least April 19th. In Ireland. So, I mean, even when there's some hope and there's some inspiration that we're getting, you know, there's going to be some running, gets interrupted. We also, I'll save that for the fairgrounds. I'm hoping to talk to Steve Margolis. And we've got a rescheduling of the OBS April. That's going to be pushed to the June dates, June 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th. So essentially a six-week pushback. Kind of feel confident that that is a workable plan. But you know, there's just so much uncertainty. There's also there's a piece, very good piece that Eric Mitchell wrote, if you didn't see it at Bloodhorse, about the uncertainties and how it could affect the 2-year-old market. And Eric kind of went back to 2008 and used that as a juxtapose. I'd recommend you look at that. So a couple other pieces of news before we head to the break. And the official necropsy came back on War Emblem and a ruptured small intestine. And, we've discussed this many times over the years with Dr. Alday in Horse Health Today, brought to you by Luberson and Reborn. And as horses age, the mobility of their intestine, the its ability to do the healthy movements inside that it's supposed to, it gets very difficult, and it thickens and hardens, and there's a very typical kind of a rupture. So looking at what this is interesting, what Dr. Waldridge said that there wasn't strangulation or displacement at all. And interesting. All right. You know what? That part surprises me, because over the years, Dr. Alday and I have talked about this many times. So he's saying rupture of the small intestine without a predisposing cause is uncommon, but fatal injury, small tear. Well, that's tough. War Emblem. We should actually, I haven't had a chance to talk to Michael Blowen, so we should maybe reach out to Michael too when we get a chance. A couple of conversations coming up this morning. We're going to catch up with Pete. We missed him last week in the absolute mayhem, and of course he was coming back from the trip to UK, so now back into into at least home life as everybody adjusts. So we'll catch up with Pete next. I mentioned Chris Katulak. Sid, of course, Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale. Looking forward. Seth will join us in hour three. I think like last week when we talked with Seth, it didn't. Potentially, nothing's changed for him. He goes to the Capital OTV studio. He does his thing, and I'm not sure that. We'll find out from Seth. That we haven't gone. Tina and I haven't gone to Saratoga at all. Obviously, we're locked down. Although it might be nice to get in the car and drive just sort of drive around and, just kind of clear the head. It'd be nice if we could get the weather to warm up a little bit. Gus, I hope we're going to talk to Gus in hour three, because he wanted to handicap some of the action at Gulfstream today. So ideally there is Gulfstream action. So we'll see, but we'll check in with Gus as well, and got a couple other visits. So there you go. And after that, what else? Oh gosh, I saw the news from Lynn Snearson, who, of course, longtime correspondent in New Hampshire and New England Racing and Lynn reporting on the passing of Mary Modi in Derry, New Hampshire, 56. And she had won a few hundred races and 2,400 mounts. And a familiar name on the New England, on the fair circuit and at the Rock, and also ride down to Tampa and Erie, old Commodore Downs, for those that didn't know there was a track there before Presque Isle. So, very sad. Died unexpectedly at 56, Mary Modi. I wanted to slip that in. All right. Let's take a break here and get going and have Pete join us. Chris Katulak from Fonner, Sire Watch, Pedigree Focus with Sid, brought to you by Hill and Dale. Talk about the Louisiana Derby winner and look ahead, maybe, hopefully, to the Florida Derby. Seth and Gus and more. Stay with us at the races.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
If you are racing two-year-olds in California, Kentucky, please consider Bleeder Shield. The leading all-natural paste used to greatly reduce or eliminate EIPH. The list of trainers who trust Bleeder Shield is endless. Shouldn't you join the team? To learn more, contact Joseph Vellante at 215-501-6880.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Here in Pennsylvania, we have the best breeding program in the country, thanks in part to our Racehorse Development Trust Fund. It's a trust, it's not tax dollars, and by law, our fund is completely protected. These are difficult days for all of us. When life in America gets back to normal, and it will, our PA breeding program will be here, stronger and better than ever. To learn more about how we're protecting the trust, go to PABred.com to watch a short video.
How's it going, Sue?
Hey!
Have you seen this commercial?
What career track are you on?
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck.
Isn't that the horse racing school that Bob Baffert went to?
Yeah, Todd Fletcher, too, and lots of other major players in every area of the industry.
Really? Like what?
Well, for starters, we have graduates who are executives at Churchill Downs, NYRA, Darley America, Gulfstream, Keeneland, you name it. They're also regulators, racing officials, bloodstock agents, track announcers. My class had a job placement rate of almost 90%.
Wow. What other college program has results like that?
What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
I thought I saw a girl brought to life. She was warm, she came around, and she was dignified. She showed me what it was to cry. Well, you couldn't be that girl I adored. Don't seem to know, seem to care what your heart is for. But I don't know her anymore. There's nothing where she used to lie. The conversation has run dry. That's what's going on. Nothing's fine, I'm torn. I'm all out of faith.
We're back at the races, coming up on 20 minutes into hour one on this Wednesday. James T.W. with his amazing torn cover. Pete Fornital back from his trip last week. We didn't get a chance to talk because things were out of control a little bit. And so we'll catch up, make it a double session. And Pete, everybody okay?
Yes. We're hunkered down in Brooklyn. And I'm actually calling from the streets. I come out once a day for exercise, basically. And I figured, normally I don't like to do these appearances outside because the rare times I've tried, it's always, you know, trucks barreling down the street. Today, so far, pretty empty. You can hear the birds in the background. I think there's some sparrows in this bush next to me making all kinds of noise, but not the usual noise you associate from Brooklyn during rush hour, that's for sure. But we're healthy, and we're trying to focus on, you know, just coming up with a routine that makes sense and enjoying what we can enjoy about it. I mean, we used to do, if we were lucky, we'd have a real proper sit-down dinner and family game night once a week. That's been every day. So, you know, that's actually a positive to come out of all this, despite all the negatives. So just trying to focus on what we can control. Absolutely thrilled that racing's been able to go ahead in a number of jurisdictions. I've done a little bit of research on it, and I'm absolutely convinced it's the right decision and not adding any danger into the mix. So I felt great. I mean, Saturday, to have that great car to racing at Fairgrounds, that's the best I've felt, to be able to have a day in the office following great racing and have the family nearby. And it was we'll see. It's like hitting a moving target, but I'd like to look back at it and be able to say maybe that was a bit of a turning point for me personally. Last week you mentioned we didn't talk. It's just as well. I was kind of in a fog, just processing everything and not in the greatest place, but I definitely feel better this week and just, again, looking forward to trying to do what we can to make the best of life during wartime, essentially.
Yeah, it particularly given the situation in the city, Pete, and New York facing some of the most difficult moments, at least in the offing yet. We'll talk to Sid too. I've been following his views of the situation. He had to come home prematurely, obviously, having been out in Arizona, and everybody dealing with it the way they can and the way they have to. For Perrin, how's she adjusting to the to the in-home schooling concept?
Well, it's interesting because her school is on their technical spring break. They have this 2-week period. That's why we had originally planned the UK trip for now, is she doesn't have classes until April 1. So the homeschooling, such as it is, has basically been me hanging out with her, explaining to her what a head-to-head wager are, and teaching her how to make a gin and tonic, MedMen style. So when the proper homeschooling starts, we'll see. But as for now, I mean, the two creatures that I know of who are the happiest with their present circumstances are Perrin and Muggsy the Handicapping Labrador, who are just absolutely thrilled to have mommy and daddy around 24/7. So it may change when she has to sit in front of a computer for part of the day and actually do some schoolwork. But so far so good. I've just been trying to mix in a few educational games too, and it's going very well. But the proper homeschool part, the distance learning as they're calling it, I'm very curious to see how that starts to fit into the mix.
Well, Tim, I'm watching with interest as Tina interacts with with kids around Washington County, around Salem, and I think everybody's trying to make the best of it. I talked to Aaron Yagoda this morning, and I was checking in on his two kids too, and his daughter is doing virtual tutoring, And so she's been, she basically is, you know, Venmoing her way to a fortune. as she's, you know, helping kids, in various subjects. I got a big kick out of that. Said she kicked her entrepreneurial spirit into high gear.
That's great.
I love it. Let's also mention, Ippy, let's do a quick contest world update, because to the credit of all the contest runners, they're doing what they can. They're using what they can, and they're keeping people occupied on that front as well.
Yeah, so we've seen Will Rogers down for the first time that I know of in contest site menus to get some extra stuff up there. And with Stronach keeping three of the tracks rolling, that's also meant there's been plenty of fodder for contest operators. And we're actually trying to take advantage of that. Just, it's not a business deal. This was just a, hey, let's do this for fun partnership. We talked to Peter Rotondo Jr. over at the Breeders' Cup, and Thursday night on horseplayers.com, we're doing it basically one of these virtual happy hours that you've been seeing from all over the world. We're doing a horse racing version, and of course, just to make it a little fun, we've gotten horseplayers.com involved to do a little contest along the way. So it'll be, I think it's going to be from 4:30 to 6 Eastern, the show, and the six races in that time window from Gulfstream and Golden Gate will be the contest. It'll be on Facebook Live. We'll eventually have a link for that. The link to sign up for the contest is already up. Just a $20 contest. The rake is going to be donated to the TAA and the TRF, the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. So there's a charitable element as well. And JK and I will host some guests and just sort of talk our way through this contest and basically do our normal late week show. I imagine we'll be looking at the Saturday Florida Stakes and bring in various guests. It's just going to be something new. And if it works out, obviously, it's the kind of thing that could be repeatable. And we're hoping it's going to be just a fun way to check in with friends and interact in real time and hopefully boost the community spirit of horse players during this tricky time. And yeah, I'll send around the info via Twitter, Stephen, if you wouldn't mind amplifying it, because we'd love to see plenty of At the Races listeners getting involved in this contest and having some fun with us. Yeah, just a $20 pick and pray. The prizes are going to be an entry in the Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge, $179 contest. And again, some of that money goes to charity as well. I highly recommend people check it out, and again, we'll send out all that information.
Nice. We'll absolutely circulate it. Well, I just kind of going back and forth with some South Florida official types, and they continue to, they haven't heard anything yet as to how Gulfstream is interfacing with county and city officials in Allendale and Broward County. So we'll keep an eye on that.
Are you optimistic about them being able to run on Saturday still? I assume they'd work something out with the county at this point, but you seem like everything else is a bit of a moving target.
Yeah, I don't have a firm feel at all, because frankly, I'm astounded that any racing has gone on. To me, it's amazing that the venues that are running are running, and you know, particularly California. And we're going to talk to Hammer actually at 10:30. Hammer yesterday making the decision to head home to California, and he's on the road. In fact, he was approaching Albuquerque when I heard from him earlier this morning. So we'll check in with Hammer, probably in New Mexico, and you know, Oaklawn continues, but I don't think they want to go to court. To be honest, I think they've got to try to convince, you know, city and county officials that this does not pose a broad hazard. You know, even though the number, you know, of 20 people to run the racing is the number that was floated, you know, when you start folding in grooms and jocks and everything else and valets and so forth, you probably are well past the critical mass numbers that, you know, have been instructed, you know, to not gather. So, I'll consider it very fortunate if they do get to continue to run, and I won't be surprised if things are halted.
That makes sense. I mean, the case that I heard that Santa Anita made about had mostly to do with the fact that 90% of the people who are involved are already there and stable on the ground, and that they could keep it under the by just absolutely going pure skeleton crew, they could keep the gathering number under that limit. Now, who knows? I did hear that they were taking it very seriously. There was a story that JK told on our show yesterday about Michelle Yu having to run back to the barn for a tongue tie or something for one of her husband's horses, and like them not letting her back there. You know, it sounded like the measures were being taken super seriously, which I thought was a good sign. But again, this is all hitting a moving target, and I think your attitude is right about being cautiously optimistic at best, and just trying to take it one day at a time as far as, you know, we go, and just the days that we have racing, to just enjoy those, and we'll see what happens tomorrow.
Exactly. On that topic too, in terms of keeping people you know, mentally occupied and challenged, you know, one of the topics that, you know, really came to the fore this past weekend when it and ideally this weekend again with the national broadcasts from Fox, and from what I, you know, what I gathered, you know, the TVG NBC deal is going to be executed this weekend. So having the racing on television, Pete, is providing, you know, is providing not just, you know, an opportunity for everybody to watch racing. It provides a chance for us to, you know, maybe get some people intrigued at what they're looking at and how to, you know, how to learn to take advantage of the game from a betting standpoint. Yesterday I had Jeremy on. We went through access to the night school, and of course you appeared several times over the years with night school with us too, and we talked about utilizing those archives, you know, 7 years worth of archives, virtually every handicapping topic imaginable and more. What's your recommendation to, you know, to people that, you know, might be getting interested and you know, want to, you know, learn a little bit more about the game? Where do they start?
I'm a book learner, so that's where my first thought goes. And I don't know what is available ebook-wise. Obviously not the easiest time to get physical books in a lot of places, but I would have to imagine the Andy Beyer books are available as ebooks. And I still think, despite the publication date being decades back, you could get a ton of stuff in there. I'm not sure, you know, the books I normally recommend would be like a Brad Free Handicapping 101. That's a terrific book. The classic Davidowitz book when it had its 21st century update. But I'm not sure if they're available as ebooks. One that is available as an ebook, but the published version of it isn't. There were some janky things with the images. But I, you know, in this time, might be able to work something out if people were interested to check out the Mike Maloney book. I do have a PDF version of that, which, you know, if I get you to sign something saying you won't show it to anybody else and I get Mike's permission, I might be able to let people look and get, you know, between his stories, which are just so entertaining anyway, and his walking through of the fundamentals, that's a great place to learn. But I also just second the idea of checking out those the Night School archives. You guys did a great job in that series. And then I'd also say for folks who are interested, you know, it's not a bad time for us to maybe try to create some sort of primer. It might not be a bad idea for new programming. And the other thing that I always say on these airwaves and on my own is for folks who are starting to learn or have been playing a while but want to get more serious, feel free to ask questions about whatever elements of the game are intriguing to you. And if your friends who are asking you these questions, and maybe you, you know, if you, the listener, don't have time to always answer them, send them to us. You know, you can send me a longer note over at InTheMoneyPodcast.com, or folks can hit us up on Twitter. I'm at Looms Boldly, JK, the infamous at UT Big Hair, which was on full display on the Fox broadcast last Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. He did a great job on there. But I think that's a good overview of some of the tools that are available in this time. And I do think it's a good time to learn. I think most horse players are hearing from people from the woodwork, almost like Derby Day, really, where people come out of the woodwork and ask you about horse racing. That's definitely been happening to a lot of horse players. And why not just try to give them a little bit of a push in this direction and try to get them involved as long as racing's going on? I do think it's a wonderful distraction and a pleasant alternative to the marble races. Not that there's anything wrong with the marble races.
Yeah, well, I'm looking actually at the Kindle option, Kindle editions under buyer, and picking winners, buyer on speed, my $50,000 year at the races, which is wildly entertaining, and the winning horse player. All four, they're basically each, well, three of them are $9.99, and $50,000 year at the races is $11.99, but they're absolutely available. Kindle, and I'll keep looking at some of the other names that might be some of the things. I mean, you mentioned Davidowitz. I mean, betting thoroughbreds even before the update. The original betting thoroughbreds for me was really a seminal book.
Oh,
too.
Still a great book. Yeah, it's still a great book. And yeah. My one contrarian idea regarding the buyer books, as much as Picking Winners is, you know, the seminal text, I feel like if you were to read one and you were looking to learn more about the modern game, Winning Horse Player is really interesting, because I think Andy's thoughts at that point about some handicapping angles and aspects that at the time of Picking Winners he wasn't too worried about, because the power of the figs were so strong. And then, you know, like all markets, the figure alone edge began to deteriorate, of course, as the figures got in more people's hands. But I feel like Winning Horse Player gets into a lot of different concepts about trips and race flow and trainers and some other stuff that's even more applicable to the modern game. So if you can only read one, I might even say Winning Horse Player first. But, of course, you're not going to go wrong reading any of those. The $50,000 year, more of the narrative book, but a wonderful narrative it is, and one that, you know, it's of those books, probably the one that's least inclined to, like, quote-unquote, make you money out of the box, but still well worth reading. And that was a book that was extremely hard to find for a while. I think I paid $50 for the hardcover that I got 8 or 9 or 10 or however many years ago. So that's fantastic that that's on Kindle.
Well, as it happens, I think I've got... Well, I know I've got $50,000 in the original, and Andy was nice enough when we celebrated that 40th anniversary of Picking Winners, when we had that great conversation. That's at the best of page too, at the website. Really kind of fun, and Andy talked about the origins and, you know, getting it published.
Oh, fantastic! And I forgot about that. I got to go listen to that again. That's, you know, plenty of. Plenty of time for podcast listening these days, so I'm going to re-queue that one up.
Well, he was nice enough to send me the first edition.
Fabulous.
Which I really, because I only had it in paperback. And actually, I had a paperback, I had a shelf when I was living in Montreal. There was like a shelf in the bedroom, and some water somehow had gotten in on the shelf, and counting, you know, snow had melted or something, and it. There were a number of books, and a couple of the Miami Buyer books got, you know, very waterlogged, and, you know, I've got extensive notes in them, and, you know, how, I mean, whenever you read these, you know, you highlight stuff, and so I really appreciated that Andy sent me that. It's downstairs in the front room. Well, Pete, well, I'm glad I asked, and want to help people if you've got friends and you got people that know that you're a involved in horse playing, and they, you know, they're expressing an interest and watching, and based on what we're hearing from the ADWs, sign-ups are
through the roof.
It's a crazy, it's, you know, you wouldn't wish this on anybody, but it is what it is. So let's help people enjoy the game and be competitive at it. Final thoughts. You're keeping busy doing some binge watching?
I'm trying to work in some TV watching, but it's interesting. I guess there's a bit of an intersection because I've continued this Mad Men rewatch we talked about a few weeks ago. I'm into season 4 now, and it's amazing. It's really cool watching the show evolve quickly in the sort of binge watch or one or two a day format. But my day-to-day, people have been, you know, I feel like throughout my professional career, one of the things that's defined me is I'm somebody who, it's pretty unusual if you get to me during the workday and I don't get back to you in 15 minutes. Like, I pride myself on trying to be like really up on all the correspondence, and that is completely out the window with Susan can continue to work unabated. The publisher she works for is just going full steam ahead. So she's working proper 9-to-5. So I'm basically Betty Draper during the day, season 1 during the day. I'm house husband. I enjoy it. I'm making all the meals. I'm dealing with all the childcare stuff. So I've been a little more out of pocket than usual, but I have been continuing to sneak in some Mad Men watching. And when we had talked a little bit about the Derby Day episode, when the idea of the Mad Men rewatch first came up, Stephen, and let me tell you, it did not disappoint. That's one of my favorites of the whole run. There's just so much going on in there, and we're in 1964 now, and I know things are going to continue to change and accelerate. I think the horse racing references are behind us, but I know we're going to get a Rolling Stones episode coming up in a couple of years. We had an oblique reference to the Beatles, so the 60s are happening right on my TV screen. And the other interesting thing, I found is like weird comfort, you know, living through a historical event as we are now, watching the show that obviously touches on all these like major touchstones. In particular, watching the Cuban Missile Crisis episode, the name of which I've forgotten. But it just, I don't know, it just provided like context and comfort that, you know, you can be going through something that feels at times like it's connected to the end of the world, and you keep going and you get through it. And I was finding Mad Men kind of the perfect show to watch right now in a funny way.
Well, and Andy went through. He finished the other day, and he watched start to finish over about a not even a 14-day period, give or take 16 days maybe. But and I did it last year. I went start to finish. And Tina's she's kind of panning for some options, and of course on a week-to-week basis right now, Philip Roth's Plot Against America is, I would say, important viewing as well. There's 2 episodes in and 4 to come. Well, Pete, stay safe and keep everybody healthy and everybody entertained, and we'll see where we stand next week.
That sounds like a plan, my friend. Always great to talk to you and At the Races listeners and folks. You know, join us for a virtual happy hour on Thursday. We'll send out that info, and do not hesitate to reach out or send folks our way, especially if they're among these new people signing up for ADW, so we have a chance to show something about our sport too. I'd love to help out in any way I can.
Pete Fornatel, everybody, looms boldly in the Money Player Podcast, and all the fun coverage and insights and arenas that Pete and the team are working on. Let's take a break. We're going to go out to Grand Island, Nebraska, Fonner Park, which has become the most important signal in America. Everybody completely captivated now by both Will Rogers and Fonner Park. Chris Katulak next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
March 28th is Florida Derby Day, and you can compete online for a share of $30,000 in prizes. That's right, it's Express Bet Showdown time. Submit a $200 entry fee to join 60 pre-qualified Express Bet players in competition for a $10,000 first prize. Then make a live $20 win wager on one horse in each of 10 competition races from Gulfstream and Santa Anita. The top five players will win from $2 to $10,000. Sweep the card to earn an additional $5,000 bonus. Showdown is available to account holders only with a maximum of two entries per player. Showdown has no rake, skim, or takeout. And since competition wagers are live, players keep what they win. Visit ExpressBet.com today to register for complete details, to open an account, and to get up to a $100 bonus. Cash big online with ExpressBet Showdown, March 28th.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life.
A lot of people don't understand, including myself, I didn't, now I do, the impact of having a stroke.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
It's a tough journey.
Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
It's a new life, but I'm going to make it better. I'm coming back. Ask your doctor, check your blood pressure.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
From BRL Equine, the people that bring you EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield, now comes Flexify HA, the most advanced scientifically based joint supplement on the market. To find out more, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880. To be the best, give them only the best. BRL Equine.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Step on side to side. Body's gently moving. I let myself fly these times. Thanks for miles and miles. Crowd's been slow.
Back at the races, coming up on 10 to the top of the hour. Sid Fernando in a little bit. Sire Watch Pedigree Focus brought to you by Hillendale. Talk some pedigree action with your Louisiana Derby winner, Wells Bayou, and others. And right now, we're going to go out to Nebraska. One of the amazing stories emerging out of this whole pandemonium, the continuing of the meet at Fonner Park and figuring out a way to keep things running and even ideally improve the conditions under which they operate, because Chris Kutulak moving the race dates, experimental basis, 2 weeks, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, instead of weekend. And as a result, Foner, as we all saw yesterday and Monday, Foner, as well as Will Rogers, the only signals available on Monday and Tuesday. There'll be, you know, some other options today. But meanwhile, Foner capturing people's imagination and people rallying behind the signal. Two record days of handle. Chris Kutulak, congratulations on just forward thinking, on cool head in a difficult scenario, and to all the horsemen and everybody keeping the show going.
Well, hello, Steve. Always a privilege to be on your show, and thank you. You know, the sort of cerebral thing about this, the decision-making, really was a no-brainer. We knew that the Monday-Tuesday slot would be open, Wednesday, for that matter. Today's Wednesday, and we're racing. And we thought, if we don't have to shut down, and at this point we do not, although 2 weeks ago we were issued the notice from our mayor that we should shut down to, and then I asked him, well, what about the no spectator racing? We agreed on that. So that's where we're at. Yes. So it is an experiment, Steve, and we actually are, as we wind down with our experimental 3-day week of racing today, we're actually taking entries then for next Monday, and we'll see where that goes. Monday, this past week, we had a record, all sources, we had a record Foner Park handle, period, $1.3 million. And just a little heads up, back in 1983, we handled just over $1.2 million, and that was exclusively at Little Foner Park back in the early 80s in the heyday. We sell out at about 6,500, and we can pack in like sardines, 9,000, something like that. And then in 1990, we had a 1.2 handle, but that was out of state as well. So this was a record on Monday, and then we came back yesterday and beat it with $2.2 million in handle.
It, we had seen the pictures early in the meet where, and people were, you know, really kind of marveling, and this is before things started to become. People were just tickled, and you know, I remember I kind of retweeted that image of the grandstand and the track apron, and mentioned, you know, Nebraskans love their racing, and the history of racing in Nebraska, as well as the, you know, remarkable legacy of horsemen out of Nebraska, including the Van Bergs and John Nayrud, and then those that, you know, passed through, and you know, the Von Hemels, and there's such a great heritage, and so it in a lot of ways, doesn't feel unusual that you know, the horsemen and you know, management, you know, that you're all pulling together to make this work, because people have to understand these aren't big purses, but it's big enough that it lets these horsemen survive and operate.
Sure, and all of that you mentioned about the background of Von Hemels, T.V. Smith, Louis Brandt, Lyman Rollins, Hoss Inman, you know, all of the, Glenn Hild, who I worked for, that's how I got started, walking hops for Glenn Hild. All of that is true, but now Nebraska racing has become a kind of a clan. It's just a small band of people who can butter their bread, if they're lucky, here during the Nebraska racing dates, but then when they go on to Prairie Meadows or Canterbury or down to Remington in the fall, then they get roughed up, and they're scratching and clawing to make a living and hopefully get back to Foner in time to reload and win some races. And a little something about what you, the first 3 weeks of the meet here at Foner, we were killing it, and it has a lot to do with the Foner vibe that we have created here. And when I tweet or post on Facebook that we look and feel like Oaklawn Park,
I am not kidding. Now, we're not as big as Oaklawn Park, but our grandstand kind of looks similar. It's glass enclosed, the big old glass windows with the metal frames. But we routinely sell out on a Saturday. Now, what racetrack in the United States routinely sells out on a Saturday race card? You can count them on one hand. So that vibe is there. Now it's not. We have an empty grandstand facility, as do many racetracks in the nation, if in fact they're running. But I'll just kind of lead you down the path with this remark. We didn't want to, Fauner Park didn't want to run 3 days. We lobbed up the idea of 1 day, possibly thinking about 2 days. But the HBPA went into this thing saying, nope, we're going to run all 3 days, and we're not going to deviate from purse structure, and off we go. And so we, as on that $1.3 million day, what we handled, and then our commission, what we are able to hold for purse money and operating expenses, we handled roughly the same amount as we would on a good Saturday. We didn't handle, we retained. So we paid for about four races on that $1.3 million day, and yesterday we paid for about six races. Now, people might be thinking, what the heck? How can you exist? Here's how. We never conduct a race at Fauner Park where the handle on that race, the commission, is sufficient enough to fund the race that we just ran. We have to do it over the course of a 365-day period. Our live race meet, the Triple Crown races are big, Breeders' Cup is big. We have that big mega handicapping challenge that was ginormous this past January. And all of those 3 days are huge for us because it all goes back into the pot and we're able to thinly spread out a purse structure for a 31-day race meet with average purses of about $5,000. Some less, some more. And so, you know, I received an email today with some, there was a representative of a track in Nebraska saying we're all basking in the success. If success is not having, losing your butt, then yes, we have. So we have just survived that. And we have to continue to trudge down the road, but I'll wind up here and give it back to you, Steve. But I am so grateful for the national attention that we're getting. Okay, maybe we're only one of a few shows in town right now, but people could rough us up if they wanted. We're a little track, but we are a very tidy track. We are efficient, and I think people are appreciating that, and I think that's pretty cool.
There's no doubt, and people have quickly adjusted, and they, you know, are going to start looking forward to it. Are you confident that you can continue to operate like this under this scenario without any interruption, essentially through what is your scheduled calendar?
Barring any other COVID mandates that would, you know, cause us to,
right,
have any further ramifications on the actual conducting of racing, I believe we can with this sort of mutual handle. We'll it takes us, like just today, yesterday, with the 2 days, we now have covered essentially our operational expenses for the 2 days, and then our weekly salary that we have to pay for our racing people. So today is the day we're just sort of kind of coming up as far as the expenses go, but that's the minimal expenses. Maybe the best way to express this is that you have to do more than just put fuel in a car to make the car operate well. You've got to do routine maintenance and make repairs, and we aren't at that point with this scenario. We're making just enough to fuel the car, but that's it, and that's not a very comfortable way to go. But Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, we can keep on pushing through the remainder of our season in this scenario, and the horsemen have been terrific to bend and not break, and so too have the race fans as well, and of course my staff is doing a Herculean effort.
Well, it'll continue, and Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Talk about what ultimately, I mean, given the numbers that you're tracking, the jackpot pick five concept. you know, when it comes time to force that out, you think you've got a bonanza on your hands now. wait until there's a force out on that pick five.
Yeah, right. No kidding. Well, we're looking forward to that. Whenever that does happen, we appreciate all the attention that we're getting on that. Yesterday, they bet over, I think, $118,000 into it, something like that. Of course, there were many pick five tickets with five of five, but it only pays out on the unique. And a little something about our product. We had a 7-race card yesterday, and it was one of the better races. It was an allowance race with a $7,700 purse, I think it was, something around $7,000. That race handled, as far as I know, more than any other race. We were kind of handling about a $175,000 per race handle, and that race, the second race, handled $233,000, I think, and it was just, based on a little quality. The purse was, looks like $8,000 on that. Woohoo! So, anyway, we're getting into more eyes, and that's good. And we just have to continue to do what we do here as best as we possibly can, and come what may of it, and appreciate the attention that we're getting at this point. And we're really pumping out the social media, and that's a terrific way to do it. You've helped, and that at Fauna Racing at Twitter has really been helpful.
Well, a couple of stakes yesterday. I'd mentioned that the Tondi and the Orphan Kissed, and the Orphan Kissed was a $20,000 purse. And congratulations to Love It Night. Terrell Hemmer sent out the Mr. Nightlinger, who we used to love. How great.
Sure.
This, you know what? I got to tell you, one of the real entertaining parts of this is seeing, when you're looking at the Oklahoma breds, you're looking at the Nebraska breds, the Iowa breds, and you see some stallions that you just don't see unless you're following, those kinds of state bred programs. And so Mr. Nightlinger, I got the biggest kick out of that. And this is, Nebraska bred, obviously, and the Hemmers, congratulations, and a resounding winner at 1-5. And then in the Tondi, this was a $15,000 sprint, Ted W. For Salvador Arceo, and Nygon Gelding for owner Roy Renke. And so a lot of connections, a lot of jocks and horsemen, getting some attention. And these are wins that mean every bit as much to these sets of connections as the big joints.
Without a doubt, Stephen. Something about that $20,000 purse for a stakes race. Yes, I know you people in the bigger racing environments, a $20,000 stake. Well, that's the best we can do. And a matter of fact, that was from money from the Nebraska Thoroughbred Breeders Association that they provided to bolster that purse. And of all the people who are making a little something out of what we're patching together with our racing product on this Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday experiment, the breeders, the thoroughbred breeders, get bupkis, zero, zip, zilch, nada, because they only get their revenue off of the on-track handle. Mm-hmm. And that on Monday, we had $28,000 bet on track from that $1.3 million handle that we had. So hooray to them. You talk about mustering and, offering something for the people that make the wheels go around. The Nebraska Thoroughbred Breeders certainly rose to the occasion there.
And tell everybody about the cars that are people are watching from their cars. This
right.
made me smile.
Anybody that remembers Exarban from back in the days, we parked cars in the infield, and on good Saturdays, the infield was packed. It looked like a giant auto salvage yard. Here at Fauner Park, the downside is it doesn't look too good on the video that we send you, but the upside is the apron area, the paved area between the grandstand and the rail where you can watch the races. We are allowing people to come in and park and watch the races there because they can use their Embed account. It's a phone wagering option where you have to be within the confines of Fauner Park, but you may wager. So we are allowing people to sit in their cars and make bets from the phone, and there was one couple there Jane and Denny were out there all day yesterday betting from their vehicle. We are open for the 10-person maximum limit, so people can cycle in and out and go up and play Fun or Keno or go up and use the OTB facility or the facilities. Our restroom is open there, but the rest of the grandstand is closed otherwise. And we're asking the horsemen to keep the social distancing. And, you know, that was something that many people chuckled at 10 days ago, as recent as a week ago, but now they realize it's the real deal, and we have to do that to continue to show that we are following the health parameters necessary.
Well, everything that you're putting into this, Chris, and, you know, I've said repeatedly, I mean, nobody's happy about the sets of conditions, but, you know, making do and providing for players and people to have a distraction and, you know, for the benefit, in this case, of horsemen and owners, you know, that, you know, really wait all, they're waiting, you know, all year long for this. And we'll have to wait and see what happens when May comes, because I don't think you're, there's uncertainty, right, about Horseman's Park. That'll be judged at the time.
Yeah, there's still uncertainty down there. And you know, like I try to emphasize, we are racing today, but we might not be tomorrow. So all this could really come to a crashing halt before long. And so I'm grateful to the HBPA. I'm grateful to the horsemen. I'm grateful to the employees and the race fans. We'll just enjoy this as best as we possibly can. And, hey, you two geese, get off the toper. We got two geese roosting right next to the Fauner Park lettering on our tope board right now. I'll send a picture of that as soon as I can. But, they, you know, they're nesting in the infield now, so they're not too happy with all of the horses going round and round, and I think vice versa.
Well, keep the assembly under 10. No more than 10 geese.
You know, that's impossible. You saw some of the pictures earlier in the meet. The Canada geese reside here by the hundreds, and then the snow geese come and evict them in the month of March, and then the Canada geese come back as well. It's quite a cycle. And then, of course, Huey, our penguin, out in front of the tote board.
Unbelievable. so much fun. Fauner Park, you got to play for today. How about one for later today?
I will say this to you, Mr. Bick. My days of handicapping 400 races to 500 races a week, that ship has sailed. I am very glad. I look at the entries because I am extremely concerned with the welfare of horses. I've become like a jockey wife or a jockey girlfriend because I cannot watch a race now without just being on pins and needles, because I am just so uber concerned with welfare of horse and rider. You know, I got a horse I go home and feed every day and hug and feed in the morning and feed at night. So I look at the entries, look at the form, but beyond that, you're on your own. Good luck with the Dinsdale jackpot. Bye.
I love it. Chris Katulak, thank you so much, and great work, and give everybody the big thumbs up and express the industry's appreciation for everybody, you know, doing all they can to keep it going.
Thank you for your attention, Steve, and to your listeners as well. We might not flourish, but we're going to survive through this as best as we possibly can.
Chris Katulak, everybody. Fauner Park, Grand Island, Nebraska, and today they start at 3:30 Central, 4:30 Eastern, and again, another full card, nice card, 10 by 9 by 9 by 10 by 10 by 8 by 9 by 10 in terms of field size, and that you know, the pick five that they're operating, and it, you know, it's getting into real money now, into the $200,000 range, and that'll keep growing. And when they go to force it, chances are they'll have the attention of, you know, all players today. Actually, where does it start today? It should be the last five, right? I think it's the last five. It's an 8 race card today. So, race 4, although it's not showing. There it is. Yes, there it is. Dinsdale Automotive. Pick 5 jackpot. Fauner Park. I haven't been, but I did go to Exarban, that when I lived in Kansas City. I was a a real thrill. One time, my buddy Phil had come to visit from the East Coast, and we went to a Royals game, took him to the Royals, and then we drove up to Omaha and had a great, great day at Exarban. I'm glad I did that. It was a beautiful, beautiful track. We'll take a break a little bit into hour two. Sid Fernando joins us next. Sire Watch Pedigree Focus brought to you by Hill & Dale. Hammer coming up in a little bit as he makes his way from Oaklawn back home to California. We'll touch base with him back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At The Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horseman, horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at horsebills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice. Voices sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Form Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Form delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Now, back to At The Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Open up your heart, what do you feel? Open up your heart, what do you feel? Is it real? Yeah. The Big Bang may be a million years.
We're back at The Races. Coming up on 15 into hour two, back to Brooklyn we go, and Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill & Dale, and with Sid Fernando. He joins us now. Sid,